Part 2.
And when should this listening start? The answer is, and it shouldn't startle you, it's just common sense. Listening should start as early as possible in a child's musical development. It should start at the same time with the start of music lessons or shortly thereafter. Take three tones, C, D, and E. Play these tones for a while and have the child listen to them. Have them listen for the color of the tones. Now, it's not necessary to make a big production of talking about color. All we do is keep mentioning the idea to him. Ask him what a C sounds like, what a D sounds like, and so on. And maybe he won't even know what to answer, but that's fine. In time, he'll catch on. Now, we have him turn around or close his eyes and identify the three tones, C, E, D, as we play them at random for him. It's very simple because there's only three tones and it's easy to locate them by their relative position, do, re, mi. Now, we don't say do, re, mi to the child, but it's easy to identify them because of their relationship. One, two, three. But this is exactly what we want. Right off the bat, we're doing two very important things. We're having the child name the tones by exact pitch, C, D, or E, and we're establishing that these tones do have a particular relationship one with the other. There's no other ear training drill you can do which is so simple and direct and profoundly effective in achieving both absolute pitch and relative pitch. Now, at first, almost every child will name these three tones on the basis of just relative pitch. Who wouldn't? C, D, E, 1, 2, 3. But he or she will later start to know the tones absolutely, regardless of the relationships. So we practice this little drill for just a few days or so until we feel that the child has really learned to name these tones. It doesn't matter at this point how the child knows the tones, whether it's by relative pitch or true absolute pitch, because we're really cultivating both these skills in one swoop. So when the child becomes familiar with these three tones, we simply add the F. We work with this new note F by adding it to the other three tones. We just play one of the four tones and ask the child which one he thinks it is. Now remember that whenever the child makes an error, we always correct that error. If you play an F and he says it's an E, then play him the E and say, this is what E sounds like. Now what is this? And then replay the F so he can make a second guess. This is vital for the practice. This is the same thing that we do with the adults. Making mistakes is par for the course, but the important thing is that whenever we do make mistakes, we not only inform the person that the error was made, we actually show why it was a mistake by comparing the right tone with the wrong tone. This is the wrong tone, E. It's really an F. Let's listen to the two, hear the difference, and understand what was wrong. This is the way that we gradually and quickly culture the ear so it does discern pitches accurately. Notice that we're keeping with diatonic scale tones. We're keeping with diatonic tones. The scale pattern actually helps them locate the keynote, the home base, the tonic, with more ease. In effect, we're encouraging the child to think of F as having a particular sound with reference to the C, and likewise with the E and with the D. At this point, you can see that we're really establishing a relative pitch type feeling with the tones. We haven't really penetrated yet to the actual experience of pitch color, but this is just what we want at this time. Remember, one cannot become adept at diving if one is not even comfortable on the surface. The same is true for ear training. The experience of perfect pitch is a very refined, delicate, deep perception. If a child's ear is completely fresh, we have to comfortably condition it or break it in. So we continue in this way, adding one tone at a time. The next tone we'd add is a G. And then we add A and B. And then we can add a C up there again, so we have a complete scale. which becomes very easy for any child to identify. Every degree of the scale has its own feeling because of its relationship with the root, the C. Whenever the child finds that he's confused or he's lost his place, ask him to sing home base, the C, the root. Call it home base, they like that. And this will increasingly give him stability to recognize the other pitches, because the home base is the home feeling of all the tones we're using. Now, it's fine to have the child sing home base every now and then, but it's not necessary to encourage him to sing tones in order to identify them. See, we don't want to encourage vocal tension pitch. As much as possible, it's best to listen only. So that way, vocal tension pitch is minimized and the color hearing and the relative pitch are maximized. But as a separate drill, it is good to ask the child to sing F and then play the F to confirm or correct what the child sang. The important thing is to keep the integrity of both drills. We can mix the two drills. One is a singing drill and one's an identification drill. But when he's supposed to be listening and identifying, then he should not sing the tone in order to identify it. Now, up to this point, we've accomplished something very good. The child has learned to name the degrees of the scale by their precise pitch. This is now going to give him some kind of easy feeling when listening. No longer do all the tones sound completely foreign to him, because he's learned to feel the fourth tone as having a particular feeling, which he calls F, and the fifth tone as having a different feeling, which he calls G. So he's learning the relationships. This is relative pitch. Then we can start to play more than one tone at a time. Start off with just two tones. Be sure to give the child as much time as he or she needs in order to unlock the chord, decode the chord. One never needs to feel rushed, because the ear has to take its own time to decipher the notes. And with the children, we have all the patience. Now, that's aural chord analysis. This drill is the thing that really stabilizes the perception of pitch color for the child, because it's much more tricky to be able to hear the colors when they're played together as it is when you play them one at a time. Because you not only have to dive into the color sound, but you also have to get into the chord itself and separate out the individual tones before you can even get into the individual pitch colors. There's two tones, you have to separate them out and then get into the individual colors. It's a marvelous drill. So when the child has learned the complete C major scale, then we start to add the additional tones, F sharp. And then when we do the F sharp, we continue with B flat and E flat, C sharp and A flat. That's a good order to do them in. When the F sharp is added, it'll stick out, not only because of its characteristic twang quality, but also because of its relationship to the C major scale, which the rest of the tones make up. So it sticks out in two respects. The ear needs to grasp onto something in order to identify the tones. And the more tones we add, all the black tones, then relative pitch becomes not as easy as before. The weaker the feeling of C major becomes, allowing a gradual but definite transition to hearing the pitch color. It's good to relate their ear training exercises to the pieces that they're working on. If the child is working on a piece in G major, point out or have the child locate all the F sharps in the piece and listen to their sound quality. So that way we're putting the exercise immediately into practical context. A very good thing to do. Of course, F sharp on a B flat instrument, that F sharp is not going to be the twangy one. It's the G sharp that's going to be the twangy one on that instrument. So we just have to realize that it is a consideration. But this brings up another point. It's all right to suggest certain characteristics for a few of the tones, just as we did in the seminar. You can show the child that E flat and A flat are mellow and F sharp is nasal sounding, but it's not desirable to try to label each tone and introduce it to the child that way. Let him or her do it. even if they don't label it in words. It's not advisable for a parent to describe each tone the way the parent hears it. That's why we don't even describe all 12 tones at the seminar. We want the child to be able to almost unfailingly name any of the 12 tones. We should gradually broaden his listening range. We can go into 2 octaves and then go up to 3 octaves and add 4 octaves. See, really, when the child can name any of the 12 tones, he has indeed arrived at the color discrimination, although it may not be fully stable yet. The test that you can use to prove whether the child is really knowing the tones by color is when you play the first tone. If he gets the first tone right, then you can really be assured that it is by color because he hasn't yet heard any other tone to relate it to, and that is perfect pitch. So we can see the progression then for the development of color hearing for the children. At first, their ear is completely uncultured, so we break it in by purposely allowing them to grasp onto relative pitch. We use a scale, an easier sound for them to work with. Then after their ear has become conditioned and feels more at home in this new world of sound, then we start to add tones which are not part of the scale. All the black notes we start to add at that point. Now that'll further cultivate the relative pitch and then provide a stepping stone for absolute pitch. When the child can recognize the tones one at a time, whether it's by relative pitch or perfect pitch, it doesn't make any difference, then we stabilize the experience of color by playing 2 tones at once. And when the child can consistently recognize 2 or 3 tones at a time in a chord, then we can say that absolute pitch has become established.